Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
We're in this series called Joy. And I hope you never think of joy the way that you have in terms of just an emotion. I hope you always remember it as Jesus opens you. And today, Lord, with your help, you'll help me to communicate the message that I believe you've spoken to me. And I'm just going to relay what you have given me and give it to your people. The two most important questions that you can ever ask yourself or someone can ever ask you is this: what is God saying to me? And what has God been saying to me? Two most important questions. And if you really need to sit down and think about that, because God speaks to you not only through the Bible and through people and through songs and music and nature, but circumstances. And I guarantee you, if you sat down long enough, and we're still long enough, the Holy Spirit would help you if you'd ask Him, what has God been saying to me? And what is God saying to me? Those are really the two most important questions. I ask myself that in preparing to prepare a message. God's put me in a position as a pastor that I'm supposed to have a word from Him to give to you every time that I stand before you. I'm kind of like the president's press secretary. When the press secretary goes out before all the news people, the media, and the cameras, and that press secretary is responsible to only give the opinions of the president that he works for, or he or she works for. And my responsibility is the same. My responsibility is not to give you my opinion or my words, because they don't really help you. My responsibility is to give you what I believe is the opinion of the Lord and to give you what He's saying. And that's what I intend to do to the best of my ability, as long as He allows me this opportunity. A few weeks ago, God was telling me very clearly that I need to preach on joy. And immediately my response to the Lord was, Lord, if anybody needs more joy in their life, I think I'm a little deficient in joy. I need some joy in my life if you want me to preach on this. And almost immediately, I began to believe the Holy Spirit was showing me and telling me through a multitude of ways that I don't need more joy. If I have Jesus, I already have joy. See, the day that I received Jesus in my life, 1976, I received His joy, and His joy doesn't come and go like the tide or like the wind. His joy is always there. Now, I may need to rejoy or recharge and plug into His joy, but I don't need to ask for joy anymore for something God has already given. Are you with me? Now, say to me, if you're a believer, I'm a believer. I've been given joy. I don't need more joy. I just need to rejoice in the joy that I've been given. It's called rejoicing. And so during this time, this was several weeks ago, one day I went for a walk on the beach by myself, and I told you the story. If you were here several weeks ago, you heard this. I was walking through the edge of the water, and I reached down. All of a sudden, it just caught my corner of my eye, not uncommon, a piece of a shell, and I stepped over it. And then I turned around. I felt like the Lord was just, you know, just an impression. You need to pick that up. And I went back over and I looked through the water, and I picked up a piece of a sand dollar. I have it in my office if you want to see it. And that's exactly what I saw, what you see right there. And then, lo and behold, I turned it over, and this is what I saw. Somebody wrote on there, that's not my writing. Somebody wrote on there, Jesus. For whatever reason, God had them to do that, I don't know. And then on this particular Monday, here's a preacher walking down by the edge of the water, and a little piece of a shell catches his eye, and lo and behold, he picks it up, and what does it say? Now, why did God do that? Just to show me He can. To show me I'm with you. I'm helping you. You know, you may be feeling a little low, a little depressed, a little not happy about some circumstances going on in your life and some difficulties. And God's showing you that He's showing you, I'm still with you. I've not left you just because your circumstances are not the way you want them to be. You got to stay open to me, Gary. Jesus opens you, but you got to stay open. You got to keep yourself open to God. And so I started understanding of the purpose of joy as Jesus opens you. And then a couple of weeks later, a friend of mine tells me they have a dream. And God woke them up in the middle of the night and told them about 3 o'clock in the morning what joy was all about. And they called me and told me about it. And I said, well, what did he say? He said, joy is Jesus opening you. So God is talking through circumstances and through people and through things. He's saying to me, now he's saying to you, you've got to stay open to God. Jesus opens you, but you got to stay open to God. If you're not careful, life may happen. Things happen that you don't want to happen. Unexpected things happen. Trials come. Bills come. Things don't turn out like you expect. You can get depressed. You can get discouraged. And when you do, when you allow discouragement and depression to get in your life and you're a Christian, you don't lose your joy. What you've done is you've shut it down. You're not letting it flow. You close. You're not open anymore. You got to be open to the possibilities with God. Nothing is impossible, Mary. God can even make you who's never been with a man pregnant, and you can have a child. His name will be Jesus, and he'll save the whole world. With God, nothing's impossible, so you stay open. And Christians ought to be the most positive, open people in all the world. I mean, we have discouraging things happen, and we have things happen in our life that we don't expect to happen, but we should always be open. What's God going to do now? How's he going to show himself to me now? And then a week or two later, after I have this experience on the beach, and then this friend tells me, Jesus opens you, and I begin to put all this together. This is what joy is really all about. Then all of a sudden, on a Saturday night, before church the next Sunday morning, getting ready to preach about joy, I have a water pipe break in my yard. And then it's a big deal because it's really a lot more complicated than the pictures there that you can see. And there were pipes coming here and there, and I could see the leak. And I thought, boy, if I cut this one, is it going to work? This one, is it going to mess up this and that? And I just sat down there in that hole I dug and looked at that water pipe and said, I got to fix this, God. And I sat there and I said, God, you're genius. You know everything. You're with me. I don't know how to fix this. I ask you to help me, to show me how to fix this. I'm open. You want me to call a plumber? I'll call a plumber. You want me to do something? I'll do whatever you say. And through the process of time, God came to me and he showed me what he wanted to be to me. He says, I want to be your helper. I want to be your helper. When you have problems, when you have unexpected things break in your life, I want to be the one that you come to first. I will help you. I will send people to you if I need to send people to you. I'll get you what you need to do the assignment that I've called you to do. But when something breaks in your life that you don't expect, come to me first. Stay open to me. Don't get discouraged. Don't get depressed. Don't get discouraged in you and disappointed. Stay open. Jesus opens you. Joy. It's not just that feeling of euphoria. It's not an emotion. It's Jesus living in you. Don't lose your joy because of some trial you're going through. Don't lose your joy like God died or something, because he didn't die. He's with you. Whatever you go through, if you have Jesus, you have joy. It doesn't come and go. Your part is to rejoy. Everybody say, I need to rejoy. That's like recharging your cell phone. I need to rejoy. I need to rejoice in the Lord. In fact, we're told to rejoice in the Lord. Not when we feel like it. We're told to rejoice in the Lord always. Not when we feel like it. Not when we hear the song that really inspires us. Not when the preacher finally says something that, whoa, that really got my heart. Not when we read something in the Bible that, whoa, that gets our attention. But we're to rejoice in the Lord when the water pipe breaks. When the bill comes in, you don't know where in the world, why am I going to pay this thing? And there's power in that. What you're doing is you're recharging so that you can have the endurance to deal with this trial. So you can have the strength to be able to do something. Now, it's interesting. It's interesting what you said, Melissa, about the, what you said, because I did a little study. I went to Webster's Dictionary and looked up the word joy, and Webster defines joy as pleasure, delight, gladness about something that has already happened. Joy is about something that's already happened. I never thought of it that way before. Taking pleasure in, taking delight in, being glad about something that God has said has already happened. But it doesn't feel that way. Look at some of the scriptures where the Bible tells us to rejoice because something's already happened. One place, Jesus said, you ought to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Remember his disciples when he sent them out and they cast out demons and they healed people? They came back so excited because of what they were seeing right now. And Jesus said, you know, that's really nothing. You just shouldn't get all excited about that. You ought to rejoice in something you can't see instead of just rejoicing in what you can't see, because the world does that. You guys ought to rejoice in what you can't see. You don't know it, but your name's already written in heaven. Hallelujah. You ought to rejoice in that. When's the last time you rejoiced in that? Thank you, God. My name is in heaven. Hallelujah. You don't want to wait to get to heaven and the angels say, come over here, I want to show you something. Look in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's your name. And we put it back there in 1976, the day when you received Jesus. And then you go, woohoo! Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Well, you ought to rejoice now. You ought to rejoice now. Another time that Jesus tells us that we ought to rejoice that really seems odd is that he says you ought to rejoice when men persecute you. And when people speak evil against you falsely for my sake, you ought to rejoice about that and you ought to be glad. Because great is your reward. Your reward's already there. God knew this day was going to happen. He knew this trial was going to come. He knew that people were going to rise up and speak evil things against you. And he wants you to rejoice now. The fact that he's way ahead of this, he knew all about it, and he's got a reward for you. And your joy is what's going to be able to help you endure this thing to make it through successfully. Next week, Andrew and Noreen Brunson will be here with us. The pastor and his wife, and the pastor was in prison in Turkey for over 2.5 years, and he got freed by God using people. And it'll be interesting to hear some of their testimony, and they're going to share, and you're going to have opportunity to ask them questions and so forth. And so next week we're going to get to meet someone that we have prayed for in this place while they're in prison, and now they're actually standing in this spot standing before church people who believed that God was going to deliver them, and he did. You're seeing an answer to prayer. So you rejoice ahead of time. That's why James says, count it all joy when you encounter a trial. Count it all joy when you're in a trial, even right now, because God is counting on you. He's given you the grace to make it. Someone may be saying here today, or have said just this week, you may have said these words, I can't take this anymore. But the Holy Spirit whispers to you, oh yes, you can. I can't take this anymore. I can't live like this anymore. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, yes, you can. You need to recharge. Get that joy I put in you. You can endure anything. You can make it through anything. You haven't lost blood over this. No, you're not sitting in prison today because of something for the name of Jesus. You haven't been persecuted like that. Yes, you can endure it. I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you and I together are going to be able to get through this. And so the real question for you and I is really comes down to this. Do I believe God is good? Now, it's easy to say in church, oh, yeah, But do I, when I get alone and when I'm at the trial and when I'm facing a difficulty and when I don't know how to fix something and something I'm in over my head, do I really believe God is good? Do I believe that? Do I really believe He loves me? And bottom line is, can I trust Him? Easy to say in church, but your day's coming, if it hasn't already, where you're going to have to answer that yourself. With no one else around, no one listening. And Jesus answered this question when He was in Gethsemane, facing the cross. He said, "Father, is there any way I can get out of this? Is there any other way that this could be done?" And God's silence was the answer. And then Jesus said, "Well then, not my will, but yours be done." And so Jesus is the prototype. He's the model. He's the example for us because we fellowship with His sufferings here in this life. And He is the example for us. And the Bible tells us that in Hebrews 12, 2. It says, let us look to Jesus. Let's look at Him. He's our example of how we're going to handle a trial. Who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. It was the joy that gave Him the strength to be able to endure. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You have the strength you need for the trials that are assigned to your life. You already have it. And the way you get through it is you rejoice in them, which is totally contrary to your flesh, totally contrary to your human nature. You rejoice in them. Well, that looks foolish. Do I have to get giddy and no. It don't confuse joy with an emotion. Joy is strength. Joy is the presence of Jesus. He knew you would face this trial. He knew this day would come. He knew you'd get that report from the doctor. You knew you would lose your job. He knew that your wife would say, "I'm walking out." He knew all those things before you were even born. And when you received Him as your Lord and Savior, He came inside and He came with the same joy that enabled Him to endure the worst thing that humanity could ever endure, the cross. All the sin of all mankind and the joy that was set before Him, the joy of God, which is His strength, enabled Him to endure it. Are you telling me you can't endure what you got to endure? And He says, the very same joy that's been given the Son of God has been placed inside of you. You got it. Phillips' translation says it this way: Jesus endured the cross and its shame because of the joy He knew that would follow the suffering. He was looking ahead. He was able to endure this time, knowing what was just right around the corner. This time is temporary. This is only for a moment. This time will eventually pass, but I'm going into eternity. And this is part of God's plan and purpose for my life. And so, Jesus endured that cross. But you ask and you say, "Well, wait a minute, that was Jesus. I'm not Jesus." I understand that. But He told us we're going to have to go through very similar things here on this earth. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have a lot of trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome it. And then He told us specifically how we do this. This is what He said. He said, it's like this: I'm the vine, you are the what? He that abides in me, the same brings forth much fruit, because apart from me, you won't be able to make it. You abide in me. I'm the vine. I'm the strength. I'm the power. I'm the hope. I'm the joy. I'm the life source that you need. I am it. Your part is you just be the branch. What do I do as a branch? Abide. What do you mean abide? Well, I mean remain, stay in faith, stay open. Make sure you're getting your strength from the vine, not from the world. Make sure you're drawing from His life, His life flowing through you. I'm just a branch. He's the vine. I'm just a branch. There He is. That's what we are. Let me ask you, is this branch alive? It's not a trick question. Is this branch alive? Yeah. But it's not abiding. But it's alive for a while. Next week we come in here at this time, this branch won't look like this because it has stopped abiding in the source of life. Apart from me, you can't live the Christian life. Apart from me, you can't do anything. Apart from me, you don't have any joy. Apart from me, there's nothing. See, now I wonder if we really believe that. Now, I'm not saying you lose your salvation, but I'm saying when you are not purposely looking to God, going to God, staying connected with God, remaining with God in a relationship that's alive, then you're not abiding, A-B-I-D-E. You're not living in this divine enablement of God, grace from God. How do we abide in Him? I showed you three things last week, three things. Number one, it's a connection. There had to be a time in your life you received Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. He becomes the vine. He becomes your life. He's not just a part of your life. He is your life. He's your life source. You connect with Him. You have chemistry with Him. You talk with Him and you listen back to Him. You have a relationship. You have chemistry together. You have a connection. You stay open. Now my life is open to God. I look to His Word. I'm a part of His body, His church. I'm open to God for whatever He wants to do. Then you continue. The second thing, you continue, meaning you stay open. You opened, you're like this jar. You opened yourself to Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in. And He did. Now you need to stay open. Stay open. Continue. Continue, remain open, abide open, because life happens, unexpected things happen, a loved one dies, you lose your job, bad news from the doctor, or whatever it is, and we have a tendency to say, well, that's it. God has disappointed me. And you may go to church and sit in church every week and be like this. Oh, we can't tell by looking at you. You got a smile and you're friendly and all that, but you're not this. You're not open anymore. You've been disappointed by life. You're disappointed by God. He didn't answer your prayers the way you thought He should. He didn't do what you expected Him to do. Life has not turned out like you expected. Is there anybody here who can relate to that? And so, you have to remember that God wants you to continue with Him. He intends to go through all this earth time with you being open to Him. Nothing is impossible with God. But disappointments happen, I know. God didn't answer my prayers like I expected. I know. But stay open to Him because He's not done yet. He may want to do it a different way. He may want to do something different. Your business may fail because it needs to fail. He may have something better for you. You do not know what God is always up to. It is an incredible mystery. But know that He loves you. Know that He's good. And you can trust Him. Remain open. I know a lot of Christians who are closed. Can we pray for your healing? No, that's okay. I'm going to the doctor. Oh, all right. Can we pray for you? No, I'd rather you not. Closed. For whatever reason. I don't know what's happened in their life. Probably some grave disappointments. Some great pains, great hurts or whatever. And they blame God. And see, God wants this connection that we have Him. We remain open. We abide in Him as a vine by being connected to Him and realizing that we continue with Him. But out of that connection with Him and out of continuing with Him through life's difficulties, when the water pipe breaks, when the whatever happens in your life you don't expect, God wants us to continue with Him. And as a result, by staying open, by just being like this, guess what's going to happen? Your confidence is going to grow. You're going to have a history with God. You're going to have a testimony that people want to know about. How did you make it through that? How did you go through that? How were you able to endure that? What your confidence grew, and it grew in little things, and now has become bigger things, and your confidence in God has grown. So we're now, you're at this place. You're like one of my inheritance words. You're now in this place of quiet confidence in God, because you've got history. You and God have history. You've been through some stuff together. You've been through some shipwreck. You've been through some disappointment. You've been through some betrayal. You've been through some hard times, and you found God is faithful. God is faithful. I don't shut God off because, oh, things aren't going my way. I know I keep the joy. I stay open to God because I don't know what He's going to do next or how He's going to show Himself to me through this, but I know He's faithful, and I stay open. Can I get a witness from somebody? One of my favorite movies is called It's a Wonderful Life. If you've not seen it, you need to watch it. It's a classic. It's been around for a long time. Jimmy Stewart is the main actor, Donna Reed. Main character is George Bailey. George Bailey is a man who has dreams. I want to see the world. I want to see the world. I'm gonna go see the Parthenon. I'm gonna go visit. I'm gonna build bridges. I'm gonna see the world, Mary. I'm gonna get out of Bedford Falls. I'm not gonna be here forever. Get out of this crummy little town, and I'm gonna live a life. And that's what he intends. And so, his plans don't turn out like he expected. Can I get a witness from somebody? He expected to see the world and do great things with his life, and he gets stuck. He feels stuck. He's got to stay in town. He's got to run his father's business. He never intended to do that. And then time seems to be passing him by. He gets married, and he has children, and he lives in a house that he never really wanted to live in. And he's living in a job that is from day to day that he really doesn't see much fruit or much success in his life, and he's really discouraged and depressed. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And then more bad news. They lose some money at the building and loan, and it looks like they're going to have to foreclose and going to be in trouble, possibly going to prison to no fault of his own. And he thinks about suicide. Like some of you. Life's not going to get any better. If this is all there is, why? Why try? And then God sends an angel by the name of Clarence. I never heard of an angel named Clarence, but there's an angel named Clarence in this movie. And Clarence shows up and saves George and teaches George a valuable lesson, tries to get him to understand. George thinks that there's no purpose to life and that he'd be better off dead. And George says, I'd never been born. And Clarence says, oh, George, you can't do that. You can't talk that way, George. It's not true. Don't say that. And he says, no, it's better that I'd just never been born. And he says, no, George. And all of a sudden, the head angel talks to Clarence and says, it just happened. And Clarence says, George, you've been given a great gift. He says, what's that? You've been given a great gift. You've never been born. You don't exist. Oh, you old man, you're as loony as I am. I don't know what you're talking about. I what do you mean I've never been? No, George, it's true. You've never been born. And then the rest of the movie is about George going back into town and discovering what it would have been like had he never been born. All the people that he touched and didn't realize. Little insignificant ways. Maybe he gave a word of encouragement. Maybe he gave somebody some hope. Maybe he gave somebody just a little help to help them to have a house of their own or whatever it was. It was just something he did in some insignificant way in his eyes that seemed like it was just a waste of life. And then Clarence, the angel, says these powerful words as he teaches George this powerful lesson. He says to him, strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he? You may feel like you're George Bailey. You had dreams. You were going to go places. You were going to do things. You were going to accomplish so much more with your life. And life hasn't turned out like you expected. Where's God in all this? And a decision has to be made in our lives. There are two voices always crying out to us. One voice is my feelings. My feelings are always crying out to me, you don't have any joy. My feelings are always crying out to me, you're a failure. Look at you. You're not able to achieve this. You're not able to do that. You're not able to do this. My feelings are always crying out to me, and so are yours. And then there's the voice of God that's crying out. Yeah, but what is God saying? What has God said about you? Who are you listening to? My part is, as a believer, now that I'm born again, I'm a believer, I'm to be a branch. I've got to remain open. I've got to remain open. I cannot shut down. I cannot live in doubt and unbelief. I've got to remain open no matter what happens in my life or what happens in this world. I've got to stay open. My feelings try to shut me down. But my faith in God says, stay open to God. Anything's possible. He's not done yet. You're still breathing. You're here for a reason. And the day that you got born again, in God's eyes, He imparted to you the joy that Jesus had, that lived on this earth. It endured the cross. You were given a gift. You're given a gift. The angels announced it at the birth of Jesus. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people if they're open. You already have Jesus. You receive the good news. You have this joy in you right now. Don't listen to the feelings. You had to be open to receive the message. And at that moment, life came into you. And if you were like me, I remember I was more alive at that moment than ever. It was like, wow. I connected with God. I was wide open for anything. And then life happens. Unexpected things. Maybe some of your joy just seemed to wear off. Lost its shine. Without realizing it, what you've done is you've compartmentalized your life. You've made compartments in your life. You began by being open to Him and saying, God, here's my life. Now, do with me whatever you want. And He said, okay, I'll do that. And then unexpected things happen, and without realizing it, you got disappointed and you started to compartmentalize your life. You began closing certain parts of your life off to Him. And as a result, you didn't experience the joy that you once had when you were born again. And you wondered, what happened? Did He leave me? I feel like I'm having a conversation with someone here. What if I told you that supernatural joy is available to you right now? And you would say, great, how do I get it? And I would tell you, you already have it. You say, I do not. I say, yes, you do. No, I don't. Do you have Jesus? Yes. Then you have it. No, I don't. Then I say, no, you only feel like you don't have any joy. But if you have Jesus, His joy is in you. And you've got to open up again where you are right now in the midst of your circumstances. Maybe you feel like you're a Christian, but you feel like your life, you're dying. There's no purpose for you. You feel like you're stuck. You're like George Bailey in Bedford Falls. You can't get out of this place. Maybe it's because what you're doing without realizing it is that you are quenching the Spirit. The Spirit of God is there in you, but you're quenching it. You're not remaining open to Jesus so that He can pour into your life all that He wants for you to have. And you argue with me and you say, well, I am open to God. And you say, what do you mean by open? And I say to you, I mean open to God to the point you'll do anything He tells you to do, no matter how ridiculous or impossible it seems. Are you that open to God? Noah had to be. Never rained. Build an ark because I'm going to flood. Somehow he understood, without scripture, he understood the Spirit of God communicating to him, telling him to do something that seemed absolutely ludicrous. He had to be. Everybody in the Bible who ever did anything significant had to be what?
Open.
You have to be open. Jesus opens you. You got to decide to stay open. Now, let me ask you a question personally, one-on-one. Don't answer it out loud. Are you that open to God right now? Don't answer it out loud. Really? If you're not sure, or you want to be, pray this simple prayer with me right now. Just keep your eyes open. Pray this prayer. Lord, help me today to be open and to stay open to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did God hear that prayer? Will He answer it? Remember, joy is Jesus opening to you. Well, how's this going to happen? Well, let me give you an illustration of what it's probably going to look like in the next 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, or this week. Jesus is going to come to you in the Holy Spirit, and He's going to point something out to you in some way, making you realize that there's a certain part of your life that you don't really have open to Him that He would like you to have open to Him. He's going to point it out to you lovingly. More than likely, it's probably going to be realized through a trial or some trouble. So see what you just prayed for? No, relax. God does not break you open. He points out something to you that's not open, and He gives you the opportunity to open yourself. And He would like you to open some part of your life to Him that's not open. He'll point it out to you. And your response will be required. Some way, somehow, you will have to manifest openness. And when you do, joy will be manifested after you obey. Somehow God communicates something to us that He wants us to do, maybe. And so once you're finally convinced and you obey what you believe the Lord is leading you to do, this opening your heart to Him and saying, yes, Lord, now you're open, God can flow through you, and this will cause your rejoicing to happen. And you'll come back next Sunday with a lot better attitude. Because you have joy, you're rejoicing. You have a testimony to share. This is how Jesus opens you, but you've got to stay open. Remember the jars, the mason jars. We have a tendency to close down on God. We have a tendency to say, well, you know, I believe, but I don't believe that much. I believe God used to do these things, but He doesn't do these things today, or whatever. This past week, my mom came over to our house, and see, it's even some little insignificant, seemingly insignificant things God speaks to us. My mom came over to me, and she had a jar of some sort of preserves or something that she wanted open, and she couldn't get open. And so the lid was like one of those metal lids there, and it had been on the jar so long that it actually somehow got a little rust underneath there, and I couldn't get it open. I got the little plastic thing, couldn't get it open, got the vice grips, couldn't get it open, tapped it with a knife, couldn't get it open. I kept working at it, and finally it broke open. Some of you are like that. You've been closed so long, so stubborn, so resistant. You've been closed so long. Nothing's been happening in your life. You're depressed. You're discouraged. You've been closed so long that even when you come to church, it doesn't do any good because you're so rusted on there. We can't get the lid off. I don't know what it's going to take to get you to be open to God. But it is absolutely necessary that you get unstuck from whatever it is that you're stuck in. Your unbelief, your doubt, your discouragement, your depression, your disappointment, your about people hurting you or whatever it is. You've got to become unstuck. You've got to forgive. You've got to let go. You've got to move on. Some people have been closed way too long. And to someone, I believe that I'm speaking right now, probably prophetically, you feel stuck in life, and this is a prophetic word to you. Now let's see. The Holy Spirit highlighted a verse to me this week that I was kind of surprised with when I was reading it. I couldn't get away from it. I had to go back. That's how you know sometimes God's talking to you. You just couldn't get away from it and read on it. You have to go back to it. And it has nothing apparently to do with joy until I realize that it really does. And here is the scripture the Lord spoke to me very clearly this week. Here it is. Say it out loud with me. Whoever sacrifices a... glorifies me and, say that part again, and say it one more time. You could say, take the lid off. Okay? They make a way, and God says, I will, come on. The salvation of God. This is very important. Now let me break it down for you. My first thoughts when I read this, well, I felt like God was talking to me personally, that he wanted me to bring a thank offering. I immediately thought money. Okay, maybe Christmas time, you know, next Sunday you want me to bring maybe an extra offering to church and give money. And so that's where I began thinking. And a Christmas offering. But then I stayed with this verse. You gotta realize when you first read something, you only read the surface. You gotta go deeper. So I went back and I read it again and read it again and prayed about it and asked God to show me what he was talking about. And then I went back and I read all the context of that scripture and everything. And then little by little, he begins to unfold this verse to me like a flower unfolds. And I go, oh my, this is much deeper than what I first realized. A sacrifice, a thank offering to me. A sacrifice costs you something. You know, you can give money, and as soon as you give money, it's gone. It can be a sacrifice, but this was not what he was talking to me about. I want you to sacrifice a thank offering. What kind of sacrifice, God, do you want from me? I want you to give a thank offering. Then I looked back in Psalm 50, and I read where God said these words. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you for food. The world is mine and the fullness thereof. In other words, God would say, if I needed money, I wouldn't ask you for it. I got it all. So I knew quickly, immediately to me, that he would say, no, this is not about money. And I concluded that this sacrificial thank offering to God was not me giving more money. It was something to be more personal and deeper than that, sacrificial. Whatever this sacrificial thank God offering is, God said, whoever sacrifices a thank offering glorifies me. To glorify God, you make him known. When you give whatever this sacrificial thank offering is, you make God known. Hang on. And then it goes on to say, and whoever sacrifices a thank offering glorifies me and what? Makes a way. Wait a minute. Now we're going somewhere. You're making a way for God to do something. What does God want to do? And it goes on to say at the end of that verse, and I will show him the salvation. You're making a way for God to show you salvation. That word salvation is the word Yasha in Hebrew, the form of the word Yeshua, Jesus. I will make a way to show him Jesus. The one who sacrifices the thank offering that I want him to give to me, glorifies me, makes me known. And he makes a way for me to show him My Jesus. God desires to reveal himself to you more than you realize. In everyday circumstances, in the little insignificant things like not being able to open a jar in your life, in a water pipe that breaks, in a piece of a sand dollar you find, God desires to show you himself in ways that you have not been paying attention to. What is this thank offering that glorifies God or makes him known? Well, I looked into Scripture, and then I came across just almost instantly this one verse of Scripture, two verses of Scripture, in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17. And it all goes together, so hang with me. Say it with me. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, let's quickly put these things together. To do this, to rejoice always, to keep praying, listening to God, talking to God, to give thanks in everything that happens, you've got to be what? You've got to stay open. You're open to God because you received him. Now you've got to stay open. And this is what he's telling us. This is what I want you to give me. This is how I want you to stay open practically. This is what abiding in the vine really looks like. Staying open to God. Then you're making a way for him to show you things about him that you would never know. I didn't know God was that good about plumbing. He can fix anything. I didn't know that God could show me a piece of a sand dollar with Jesus' name on it just for me. I didn't know God knew all that he knows how to do and he wants to show himself to us. These are you giving thank offerings to God in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of uncertainties, in the midst of when things don't look good on the outside. You are going on the inside and you're rejoicing in him. You're thanking him. You're staying connected with him and praying and listening and talking. And by doing this, you're making a way to open up so God can show you himself in ways you would have never, ever known it. A positive attitude, yeah, but it's a faith attitude. We believe with God nothing's impossible, therefore we rejoice always. We believe God is always with us, so therefore we pray always. And we listen. Part of prayer is conversing with God and then listening for God. And we believe that God has all things worked out in our life and all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So when things happen in my life, in everything I can give thanks. I stay open. Jesus opens me, but now I stay open. I stay open. Ladies and gentlemen, you only have one life. You only have one life here on earth. You can't afford to lose a day by doing this. You've got to stay open. Whatever your circumstances are right now, whatever's causing this depression, whatever's causing this discouragement in your life, whatever's causing this doubt and all this stuff in your life, look, you've got to stay open to God. You don't have any place else to go. You don't have anybody else that can help you. Only he can help you. He came into your life knowing that you were going to face this time, knowing you were going to have this situation in your life. He's with you. He wants to show you a way. But you've got to give God something to work with. What do I give him? Give him your rejoicing. God, I rejoice in you that you are my God. You're with me. You're still on the throne of my life. I rejoice that I can pray to you. I give you thanks in everything. Not everything that happens in my life is good, but I can give thanks in everything because you'll make something good come out of this. Somehow, some way, I just believe nothing is too difficult for you. So you open your life in the midst of disappointments. Open your life in the midst of failure. Open your successes to him. Open yourself to him. Don't stay closed. Open up to God. I close with this. Two most important questions anyone will ever ask you, or you'll ever ask yourself, is this right now, it ought to be this. What has God been saying to me this last hour? He didn't have me up here ranting and raving and storming all over the place and snorting and preaching and doing the best I can for no reason. He didn't bring me here to entertain you. There's a lot better entertainment. He brought me here to say to you what he's saying to me. Are you open to anything? I mean anything. What is God saying to you now, and what has he been saying to you lately? Would you bow your head and you close your eyes? Would you stand to your feet? Altar workers, would you come up here and join me, please? Jesus opens you, but you got to stay open. Someone here today, I just believe, is extremely discouraged, extremely depressed, and just feeling like you just want to give up. God is talking to you. And if you're the only one, then he had this whole church service just for you because he loves you. You need to break yourself open. He has set you free. Quit confessing, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged. No, say instead what God says about you. I am rejoicing. I have joy. I am making a way with God. Nothing is too difficult for me. Somebody needs help today. Serious, serious help. Don't be embarrassed, but I'm going to ask you, whoever you are, maybe many, to come forward and let our altar workers pray with you. Pray with you. That's a beginning. You just opened yourself to God. Now he can make a way. You got to give God something to work with. Somebody here may not be receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, then this is the day to do it. I'd like to talk with you. I'd like you to come up here and share that with me, and I'd be glad to help you. But whatever else is going on in your life, you need prayer for anything. Remain open to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, is there any area of my life that is not open to you that you want me to open now? Reveal it to me. I'll trust you, and I'll bring it to your altar myself, and I'll ask you to help me to stay open. May you show me your salvation. Manifest Jesus in my life, in my circumstances, in my trials, that you be glorified. In Jesus' name, let the church say, amen. You ought to be moving right now. If God has spoken to your life, something...